17 past the hour from our Washington, D.C. studios. Roland Martin joins us on the show. Roland, how are you this morning?
Hey, folks, doing well. It was a very difficult weekend, obviously, in the news when you looked at the just massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 kids murdered at the elementary school there. And, of course, you had six adults and the shooter. He killed his mother before he headed to the school. A couple of the funerals will actually take place today, will be laid to rest. And so, you know, everybody was obviously talking about guns, assault weapons, and things along those lines. But I do think it's also important that we confront an issue that we've talked about a lot on this show, and that is mental illness, because that still is a significant part of the problem that often gets overlooked in this country. And so right now we turn to our friend, Dr. Carl Bell. Of course, he is out of Chicago. Dr. Bell serves as Director of Public Health and Community Psychiatry at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Doc, whenever these things happen, people try to figure out what took place, how could we look at any signs. Right. You call them, in essence, public suicides.
What they are is suicide preceded by mass murder. Mm. And because the mass murder is often so horrific, people are losing the focus on suicide. But I suspect, based on, I don't know, 30, 40 years of studying this, that it's the suicide that's driving the behavior. Oftentimes, people who get suicidal, a lot of their dynamic is, I'll fix you, I'll show you, I'll make you sorry. And what better way, you excuse that, of doing that than to kill a whole bunch of people before you kill yourself?
We talk about this whole rush to, you know, new gun laws and things along those lines, and we've discussed this before. We saw it happen there in Chicago, where the funding for your community center was frankly evaporated.
Right.
That when we look at cuts, it one of the first areas in this country that cities and counties and the state and the federal government, they look to cut deals with mental illness.
Yeah, unfortunately, the mentally ill are frequently just unable to function in life. And so they don't vote. They don't have advocacy. And people kind of want to just get rid of them. You know, that's why a lot of them are in jails and prisons, because they don't want to see them, because they don't want any reminders that this could possibly happen to them. Fortunately, it's a little better. People are beginning to advocate more. There are organizations out there that are sticking up for the mentally ill and trying to get them to get some rights so that they don't have to get into this situation.
How should the conversation move forward, Doc?
And what can I ask you also as far as the conversation moving forward, Roland? But what part, as far as family members and friends are concerned, play in all of this too?
Well, no, yeah, exactly. Friends and family members need to make sure that they embrace their mentally ill relatives and make sure they're connected and that they're monitoring their behavior and that they've got social emotional skills so they don't have to do something like this. The other thing that's got to happen, because when you look at the dynamics of individual suicide, what happens is that the more the media plays it up, the more contagion and copycat you get. So the Annenberg School of Journalism, for example, has very clear guidelines about how to report on suicide. You do not say that the guy took this kind of assault weapon and had a bulletproof vest on, because the next guy is going to have the same assault weapon and a bulletproof vest. So it's actually encouraging this behavior. But so far, I haven't been able to figure out how do you not report on something that is so horrific and newsworthy and that people want to know about. But again, the core dynamic in all of this is this suicide.
Sybil, you got a question?
The part that is so disturbing is that this mother who recognized her son's his illness, mm-hmm. and yet was very protective of it,
yeah.
and had these kind of weapons at his disposal. These were her guns that he used on her. Can you give some words of advice to people who are in that kind of situation where they're trying to help their child or family member and yet having to protect themselves as well?
Well, you know, I did a lot of homicide prevention work, and I used to try to tell people, if you've got weapons in the house, lock them up. Lock them up. Don't have them accessible, because a gun in the home is 40 times more likely to kill a family member than it is to kill a home invader. So, but you know, it sounds counterintuitive, and mm-hmm. people don't believe it, and they want to hold on to their guns because they believe. People don't listen to science. They listen to what they believe. So it's a very hard conversation to have. But lock the guns up.
And what about the conversation we should be having with our children regarding this as people are headed back to take their kids to school today?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Back in the 80s when I first started studying, it's actually 76 when I saw a four-year-old girl see her mother get stabbed to death. There was nothing out there. Now there's a lot out there. There's the National Child Traumatic Stress Center. There's psychological first aid. There's actually people who know how to handle this. The bottom line, just to keep it simple, is if the parents are okay and they're not stressed out or freaking out, the kids will be okay.
Dr. Bale, when it comes to mental illness, what happened on Friday, does that bring out copycat killers there that are mentally ill? Does that make them want to do something like that?
Unless they're seriously depressed themselves, that's where the copycat sticks. Again, it was Phillips in 74 when there was print media and it was local. He was able to study and prove that if in the local newspaper there was suicide on the headline that it described everything, how you do it, this is what happened, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. 2 to 3 weeks later, there'd be three or more of those called cluster suicides or copycat or contagion suicide. And based on that proof, as I said, the Annenberg School of Journalism said, look, stop publicizing this stuff because you're encouraging similar behavior. One of the prevention strategies that a guy in Philadelphia did that was actually very useful is that when a suicide would occur, he would go through the schools or go through wherever he could find kids that were at risk and identify those depressed kids, make sure they were protected, make sure they were treated, and that would decrease the copycat effect.
Dr. Carl Bell, we always thank you, sir, for your sound advice.
I always want to help you out.
And it's, again, a tough situation. But the reality is life does go on, and so we simply continue our prayers and hope folks get the necessary help that's required to make sure it doesn't happen again. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Dr. Bell. Thank you, Roland. I know you were going to talk Tavis, but this, of course, what happened in Connecticut takes precedence over that. Thank you much, Roland. Have a nice remainder of the day, bro.